We're going to continue next week with this series, but I believe this is really going to bless you. And this has something to do with, I realize what the Lord's doing here, just so that you all understand. The whole part of what God has put on my heart in this series is that God always provides, right? He always provides for me,
right?
Or is it just me, it's not you? For all of us, right? Okay, so say this with me. God always provides for me. Say it again. God always provides for me. Now, what's happening is you are making a declaration. You're making a statement that in this area of smoothing out the wrinkles, rough times, rough days, stuff happens, life happens. God always provides for me, no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. It's real. Now say this with me. God always loves me. Say it again. God always loves me. You know what you're doing. You are persuading your heart of the truth. When I say your heart, I mean this is the whole encompassing of the heart. This is the breakdown. It is the way we think. It is not necessarily our intelligence or our IQ. It is the way we think as human beings. It is also the way that we feel, not our emotional ups and downs, not our crashes and burns, not our infatuation or lack of, not our, just those high and low emotional events. It is the way that we feel. I feel about Jesus in a way that never changes, and it's passionate, and it's hungry for relationship. It's desirous of everything he is and all he has and to know him more deeply. That's how I feel. That doesn't change with emotional ups and downs. So our heart is the way that we think, the way that we feel, okay, and the decisions that we make. How we choose, how we decide, how we make decisions based on fact or not fact. We have the gift of a free will. It is an incredible gift. We choose, we decide in our heart what we're going to believe. Do you know that? We make a decision. It's based on all kinds of factors. But, you know, as I said last week, God is pro-choice. I know it sounds funky, but listen, God is pro-choice. God is the original author of free will. That's what he gave us, is the ability to choose. Not abortion. Abortion is evil. Okay? God is pro-choice. He is also pro-life. When you understand this, he is pro-life for us. He's pro-choice for us. He's pro-life for us. Because the power of our choices is a part of our heart. It is a part of our heart. Now, saying this, God wants to get into our hearts the reality of the truth, so that we can believe him, because he always provides for us. Always. If you believe this in your heart, this is a done deal. If you believe this the way you think, your feelings, your passions, your decisions, that is your heart. That's what makes up your heart. This is what we live out of. Guess what? that measure that you believe, that measure that you believe in your heart, is the measure of the move of providing God can do in your life. That's why teaching about God providing for you and speaking this out is a part of persuading your heart of the whole truth. We kind of hold God back sometimes because we don't really believe in some areas that this is true or this is real. We exclude, you know, finances is one. Well, God doesn't really do that because look where I'm at. And consequently, based on our experience or what we're seeing or what we think, in our heart we believe, God, you don't really provide for me there. Or in the area of healing. Or in the area of relationships. Or in the area of future. Or in the area of a plan. Or in the area of hearing direction and hearing his voice. And it goes on and on and on. But see, a lot of this is based on what we believe in our hearts. That's why we make this statement to persuade or continue to persuade our hearts of the truth so we can believe. Because the truth is God always provides for us. Now last week we covered afraid to trust. Afraid to trust. And most everybody, most every Christian goes through a time, a season, a period. It could be a long time or season or period. And it could be a short time. Is afraid to trust God with a particular situation or circumstances. Things come. And the first thing we do is we want to panic and get afraid. And then go, oh God, you can't. Oh God, you won't. Oh God, you don't. I know that I'm probably just speaking for myself. But that is the first thing we think. And we default to being afraid to trust God in our heart. And so what we say is, no! You can't provide for me. You can provide for me in this area, but you can't provide for me in this area. Is this making sense? God provides everything we need for all of us all the time. Can we get this into our hearts? That's the point, right? All right. I had a slew of announcements. We're not going there. Would you please turn? 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Turn, click on. Move your iPad, your phone. 1 John chapter 4. This is the last week we're going to be on this scripture. But it's imperative that we get this. First John chapter 4. There is no fear in love. That's a big statement. Why would I be afraid to trust someone who loves me? If I really understand the depth of the love of God to me, why would I be afraid to trust? It's really, when you reason this out, and I'm talking about reasoning, okay, just our natural reasoning, it is not rational, really. It's irrational. But it's what we do because we're afraid to trust God. Because this is why. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment or punishment. He who fears, he who is afraid, and let me break it down. He or she who is afraid to trust God has not been made perfect or complete in the knowledge and the understanding, and here's where the rubber meets the road, in the acceptance of his love for them. Do you know we have to accept his love in our heart? This isn't a ooey-gooey feeling. It can be at times. It can be a knock-you-over kind of overwhelming presence of God, and you can sense the love of God. Or it is the feeling that I've accepted the truth of his love for me. I've accepted it in my mind. I've accepted it in my feelings. I've made it a part of my life. And I've decided, I've chosen to accept his love for me. Really, it's that simple. Can we get the temperature bumped up just a degree? There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. When you know how deeply loved, when it becomes real, I'm talking about real, real as just sitting here today, as real as the walls, as real as the heat that's coming on. When it gets real, his love for you, then fear and the fear of punishment or the fear of rejection or the fear of God won't come through, or the fear of I wasn't ever good enough, or the fear of all these kind of fears, leave. They leave. They fall off. And perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears, again, if you're afraid to trust God, you haven't been made complete yet. You're on your way. You haven't been made complete yet in his love. This is where it all comes from. From love comes this relationship that we have. You remember, we're in a relationship, right? Facebook. We're in a relationship with Jesus. One that doesn't change. From the relationship, trust is built. Trust and faith are different. They're complementary, but they're different. Trust is built. Well, I can trust you. I know how much you love me. I believe it. I've accepted it, and I've decided to believe it and accept it. Trust is built. And as trust builds, faith takes place. When faith takes place, the experience of the change, the supernatural, the reality of God's promises happen, and it becomes a part of our history. That's how this all works. It is essential that we are made complete in the knowledge and the understanding of his love for us. Because God always loves you. You can trust him. So today's title, for the short time that I have, is called Not Afraid to Trust. And that's really where we're transitioning. Suzanne, come on up here for a minute, will you? Do we have a microphone? Here it is. Now, I want you to do this. I want you to hold the microphone here. Okay? And they will regulate your sound, and you want to face them, okay? And what I've done is I've asked Suzanne to share this testimony, because this testimony is just an inkling of what it's like to not be afraid to trust him. Would you like to start?
Sure. Okay.
Make sure they can hear you.
Okay. So about 2 days before Christmas, I discovered a big problem at work, and it was just under a $2 million problem, of which I am partially responsible. And it's complicated, but I will condense it. So about 2 years ago, they had rolled out a new process, a new revenue commitment process, and then right around that time, some people left the company and there was changes in our department. So I was left then the most senior person with the highest technical skills in this process. And I volunteered to finish rolling out the process, and they said, great. So pretty much trained myself along the way. What I didn't know, I self-taught, and then I ended up setting all of our U.S. customers that way, all of our Canada customers that way, and I trained our Australia and U.K. offices. I trained their accounting staff how to do it the same way. So here we are 2 years later, and I discovered that the revenue reversal process was not working right all of the time. And so when I discovered it, I just started to panic, and the first thought that came to me was, how can I hide this, or who can I blame?
And not that any of us have ever thought that.
And I don't know if that was in here coming out, or if it was a temptation, or maybe both, but I just said, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. It is not in my heart to be deceiving or anything. And then David's verse, he was just comforting me the whole day with promises. So David's verse came to me, my sin I did not hide from you. So I went quickly and I told my boss, and his face just went white and red. And he said, this will be me and the global controller's last day. That's how big it was. And I knew if it was their last day, it would be my last day. And probably the CPA, the senior accountant, because he handles deferred revenue. And we were all wondering, how did no one catch this? A series of people should have caught it. So then we talked through all the impact, all the negative impact that it could have. And for 2 weeks, we've been finding everything. But so back to that first day. So then my boss and the global controller had to go and tell the CFO.
CFO is chief financial officer.
And I just stayed in a place of faith. I knew it looked bad. For some reason, my heart was in total peace. And so as I saw my boss and the global controller heading into the CFO's office, I was standing by the CPA because we were looking at a report together. And he goes, there they go. And he kind of like hangs his head like they're off to the guillotine or something. And it was like the Holy Spirit just stood up on the inside of me. And everything that I had been believing just came out in that moment. And I said, there they go. And God is walking in with them. And I just testified. And I felt so courageous and so strong. And I just said, I know this looks bad from the outside, but God is so much bigger than this. Mm-hmm. And they tell us these stories about when we're little and in Sunday school about how God shut the mouths of lions and how God split the Red Sea when their backs were against a wall. And then we grow up and then we are tempted to forget about this. And I said, is God good or is God not good? If God was not good, he never would have sent his son to die while we were yet a sinner. And then I was talking about how Lot had said, Lord, if there's 10 righteous, would you save the city? And God said, for 10 righteous. And I was saying all morning, God, there are righteous people here. Our righteousness goes before us, and the glory of the Lord is our rear guard. And
now, may I, this was all to the person at work, person and people at work. Can I?
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I think it turned in.
I don't know what that is. Let me just say this, because I need to make sure that the impact of this gets out. This is what Suzanne was saying to the people at work. I testified about the power of God and who he is and who I know him to be and how I've been with him and seen the beauty of who he is. And I am not backing down from what I know is possible. And it is because of his love and what we're willing to believe for. Is God good or not? As soon as God is the culprit, it's a sure sign we're deceived. If God wasn't good, he never would have sent his son to die for us because we were sinners. And I felt so powerful talking like this in the workplace. Really? It's like the Holy Spirit stood up inside of me because he's got something to say. I could actually feel the atmosphere changing around me. It was crazy. I was saying, and they tell us about the stories in the Bible that you hear as kids, which Suzanne just said. And we grow up and forget, and people tell us, come on, brother and sister. That's just stories. You got to use wisdom. Well, God says, forget not my benefits. And I told him about Lot and how he said about the righteous. And there's righteous people in this building. And how his hand and his favor is heavy upon us today. And his grace is powerful in us. And I was saying, he's got this. This is not too big for him. God loves faith because it gets us out of carnal living and thinking. So I'm going to release my faith and give him something to work with. We are saved by grace through faith. No faith, no grace. I've got to start where he finished. I'm going to let my faith fly and see how far grace will take me. One more, okay? Because this is so important. And I was saying, thanks for letting me read this. Because this is powerful. And I was saying, this will not tip the audit. She's saying this at work. Out loud. In front of people. This is going to be grace coming over this right now. This is going to be a compassion coming over the CFO right now. And this will not have negative repercussions for our company. And I was thanking God on how he's coming through. And that song from church, you're a way maker, a miracle worker. And I stayed in a place of faith. And Brad was also praying and had a word from the Lord to me. In about 30 minutes, we could hear the CFO laughing. And shortly after, my boss walked out, gave me the biggest shrug with a confused look on his face. And he said, I think he must be smoking medical marijuana. He didn't yell. He didn't get mad. He just asked how it happened and how can we prevent it going forward. And he said, okay, just give me a final number by the end of the day. Turns out the amount was under the threshold for having to report. And the bank, nothing had to go. Nothing changed. Now, here's what I want to say. Stand right there. Because this is for you and Brad. Where's Brad? Took the kids out. This is for you and Brad. The definition of trust in the Hebrew and in the Greek, Old Testament, New Testament, is confident, secure, and safe, and bold in trusting without fear the Lord. That's what you did. You were sure and confident and secure and bold. And you are not afraid to trust him. And that was the results. Big deal. You needed a real testimony of what it's like not to be afraid to trust the Lord. No matter how big the situation is. Because the first thought we have is panic. Right? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Wait a minute. What do you mean, what am I going to do? It's the first part of wrong thinking that we have. I'm going to carry on from here because I've only got a couple minutes, okay? Thank you, Suzanne. I want to say this. Brad and Suzanne are bold. They're not afraid to trust the Lord no matter what the situation is. It's the first place they go. It's really an inspiration. Pretty awesome, huh? Okay. The reason we fear, this is why. We're born into it. Because we're born into fear. We're born into this sin nature. Sin nature is loaded with fear because fear expects punishment. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, if anybody's born again, if anybody has accepted Jesus, his sacrifice for them, if anybody, they become a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We when we're afraid to trust God, we are operating in a dead, stinking carcass instead of our new nature. We reverted to the old nature. Why? Why? Because we don't know who we are in Him. We don't know. We're not steadfast in His love. We're not so encapsulated, so it's not part of our heart. It's not part of our life. We revert to the carnal or sin nature aspect, and we expect punishment because we can't trust God. Never have to do this again. You never have to be afraid to trust Him because He will never let you down. Can you give me 5 minutes? Parents, can you give me 5 minutes? All right. In the new nature, there's no fear, there's no punishment, and we can trust absolutely. Ephesians 4, verses 23 and 24. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24 says, to us who are born again, be renewed or made new in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind in the Greek means our whole disposition, our attitude, the way we think, the way we feel. It all comes down to, it condenses into our heart. This aspect of our heart, what we believe. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, the new woman, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. God wants us to help us change our thinking in our heart. Because that's what we do. We think in our heart. You know, have you heard this proverb? You know what I call proverbs? God tweets. They really are. To me, they're God tweets. They're powerful, they're impactful, they're short, they're life-changing, but they're God tweets. Proverbs 23:7, as a man or a woman think in their heart, so are they. I'm afraid to trust God. No, I'm not. I'm not afraid to trust God. It's time we start speaking out of our new nature and declaring what the truth is. Oh, I wish I had time. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5. King David wrote, trust in the Lord, be confident, bold, secure. Know that you're safe and do good. Live righteously. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Never let you down. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Period. When you run this through the cross, it doesn't change. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, just go through it. Read Hebrews chapter 11 and identify each person there. They were not afraid to trust God. And God always provided for them. You're no different. Let me give you this. How not to be afraid to trust Him. I have to bring it right to the conclusion. This is how not to be afraid to trust God. If you want to make this change in your life, this all happens in the heart. Okay? This is where it happens. It's not intellectual information. It happens in the whole heart. All right. Number one. When you face something, whatever it may be, and you're looking at something that there's a need in your life, or you're looking at something that is lacking, or you're looking at something that there should be a change. Or you're looking at something that you go, I don't know, but something's got to happen here. I need God to provide. God providing, the definition is, he looks ahead. This is a combination of the Greek and the Hebrew. He looks ahead and he furnishes in advance everything. But what's in the belief in our heart? Do we trust him to provide? So the first point, stop right where you are. Stop your thinking. Stop the panic. Stop. You can shut this down right now. I shared last week about scuba diving and about being in a chemical emergency in a chemical plant. Don't panic was the thing that went in my head. You know what? My training saved my life. Our training as Christians not only saves our lives, but it opens the door for the fullness of God to provide. The full provision in our lives. Not just limiting him. Stop. Don't panic. Stop. Everything you're thinking right now. Number two. Choose. Decide. Make a choice to change the thinking of your heart. This is what it looks like. He always loves you. He cannot change toward you. He makes even your mistakes work for your benefit. He doesn't hold anything against you. He's made himself responsible for your care and feeding. He cannot ever fail to provide for you. Number three, that was all part of number two. Number three, you have to let this, like letting the peace of God rule in your heart, you have to let this become your experience. You have to let it become a part of your experience and your history by deciding not to be afraid to trust him. We choose to be afraid to trust God, or we choose not to be afraid to trust God every single thing that comes. It is our choice. It's a decision that we make in our will, in our heart, in our mind, and with our feelings. Amen? Sorry this is so short. Would you stand with me? Prayer team, come on up. I'm just going to pray. If you need prayer today on anything, you want a miracle? It's here. These people will take care of it. They're full of faith. Trained up, ready to go. Father God, in Jesus' name, we are blessed. And we declare today, we are not afraid to trust you to provide for us. Amen. Anymore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed week, everybody. Thank you so much for the extra time. Praise God.